Afternoon, as we go to the book of Romans once again, and to the first chapter as well, Romans chapter 1, and beginning our reading at verse number 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, where the Scripture says, and Paul is writing by inspiration of God, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." We grow in grace, we grow and move forward. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They do not hold it dear. They do not hold it precious. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." They became vain, the Bible says, in their imaginations. "And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Those who reject divine light come under divine wrath. To directly reject and to refuse divine light means that you incur divine wrath. And that's the message that we're going to be looking at this afternoon. How that there are those who incur divine wrath because they reject divine light. If you reject the Christ of the gospel, then you're condemned, and you must be condemned. John 3:19 says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and what did men do? And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." They like what they do. Their deeds are evil. John 3:20 is a strong commentary on John 3:19, where it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be refused." They hate the light. They will not come to the light. Why will they not come to the light? Because the light is what reveals they're evil. I have been in places. Brother Cecil has traveled a lot, stayed in a lot of motels. There are places you might get up in the middle of the night and turn the light on. That's when the roaches crawl. Am I right? You know what happens when the light's on? They head for a hiding place. They're out there crawling in the darkness. And that's what you have in the world today. Those who reject the light Because the light reveals their deeds. They want to crawl around in darkness. That's what they want to do. And what we're going to see this afternoon in Romans 1, and especially in verses 24 through 32, is a terrible picture. It's a picture of the downward road to doom, destruction, damnation for all those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that's all who hold it unrighteousness. Not just those that are talked about specifically here, but about any who reject the light, who say no to the light. They will suffer damnation because they're under condemnation. It's a sad commentary, these verses we're going to look at today. Those who are spoken of here in Romans chapter 1 have come to the place of no hope and no help. And I'm talking about those in the last part of this chapter. They've come to the place of no hope and no help because God is through with them. We like to say, well, every man, you know, there's hope as long as he's still got breath in his body. But to be truthful, there are those for which the Bible says there is no hope. That's hard for us. And because we love sinners, because we love folks, we preach those things that are hard for us to understand. If we did not love, we would not preach. If we did not care, we'd leave this chapter out, especially the last part of it. But we cannot, for we love people. We do not want them on the downward road to destruction. We want them to come to Christ and not be rejected. In verse 24, the Scripture says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." Verse number 28, "And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." Reprobation is that from which you cannot and will not come back. So if you love folks who are involved in the sin of this world, we need to give them the gospel. Because the Bible does teach that there is a point of reprobation. That's a hard subject to preach. Hard subject to deal with. And because I love sinners, I will preach this. Because I believe the Bible as the Word of God, and all that these have to do is look to this. This is all they've got to look to. All they have to look forward to is what the Bible says, a certain fearful looking for of the judgment of fiery indignation. Hebrews 10:27. Needless to say, the study this afternoon, the message is a very serious one. It's not easy for me. It may not be easy for you. But it's serious. We're at the point where this has become more serious to the very history and survival of our nation. In verses 24 and 25 of Romans chapter 1, we see man's immorality and God's justice. Man's immorality and God's justice. As we look at verse 23, we see a close connection between idolatry and immorality. Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. They worship the creature and not the Creator. They will cause hundreds of farmers in California to lose their crop to save a little bitty fish that they could take and put somewhere else, in another stream or even in a big aquarium, and nurture it and let it grow and let other things, and then have it in a habitat. We are to have dominion over the beast of the field and the fish of the sea, and I believe the fish in the pond and the stream. They are having dominion over us because they've become idols. And there are other idols. We could get into a lot of different things that become idols, but we're as a nation reaping what we've sown, which means we worship creeping things. And that leads to immorality. There's a connection there as we look at this. Now, Paul wrote to Corinth, of course. Was Corinth in serious trouble? Serious trouble. He wrote to Corinth, and when he did, he wrote to a city that was full of idols and immorality, a very immoral city. And in Paul's day, there was an expression which was to live like a Corinthian. And that meant to live an immoral life, to live a life of moral degradation. And there are those today who are living like Corinthians. Very immoral. Very immoral. Now, if you look at verse number 24, and the very first word in Romans 1:24 is, wherefore God also gave them up. Wherefore, you want to see what it's there for. Wherefore. It points us back to the reason that God gave these people up. It points back to the reason. Wherefore? Verse 21, they rejected God. They rejected God who had revealed Himself to them in common grace. In common grace. We see that in verses 19 and 20 where He had done that. They sought to justify and rationalize their rejection of God. And that's what people do. They reject Him and they rationalize and justify. Verse 22. And then in verse 23, they made gods, as we see, substituting them for the living God, as the Bible teaches. Three times we're told in Romans chapter 1 that God has rejected these. That God gave them up, gave them up, gave them over. But I want to point out that the reason they are rejected is because they have rejected the light. They have rejected the light, over and over, rejecting the light. God is long-suffering. He is. He was long-suffering to the believer, was He not? Long-suffering to us, were to believe. No doubt about that. He gave them space to repent. He gave them time to repent. Gave them an opportunity to repent. Numerous examples are found over in the Revelation. You know about that woman called Jezebel. She was given space to repent, but did not. I think about the antediluvians, those before the flood. Did Noah preach before the flood? I guarantee he did. 120 years or so, he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the word. He's preaching concerning God the deliverer. The ark itself speaks of safety. And the pitch upon the ark speaks of being covered and safe. I went to Trinidad some years ago preaching for Brother Santoma Jagannath, and we went to the pitch. Anyway, we went to it, the pitch pit, that's what it is. And it's just this lake of tar, of pitch. And when Sir Walter Raleigh's ship was leaking, they sent men to shore in skiffs to gather up the pitch and to seal Sir Walter Raleigh's ship so it would not sink. That's the idea that we have of being covered by the blood. It's the atonement. Same idea, being atoned for, being given safety. What a blessing that we have in this. And they were safe in the ark, but humanity, except for Noah and Mrs. Noah, and Ham and Mrs. Ham, and Shem and Mrs. Shem, and Japheth and Mrs. Japheth, was destroyed. Destroyed by what? By the flood that happened. Now, at a proper time, unknown only to God. He everybody else doesn't know, but He knows. A time known only to God, when His patience is gone, unrepentant sinners are, and this is said, are by that wrath, His wrath, allowed to be swept away by their own sins into the pit of their own vile passions. Swept away. But that's in God's hand. My message is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that sinners may know that Christ died for sinners, was buried, and He rose again. Amen. We preach the truth. But we warn. Part of what we do is reprove, rebuke with long-suffering and patience. We do that. There are those who are finally abandoned by God. The restraining and protecting hand of God is taken off. It's gone. And man who is lost should fear that hand being taken. Verse 25 of Romans 1. These are the ones, as it says here, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They say there is no God in heaven. We worship the creature. They hug the tree. They do that. I was on a plane flying back from Washington, D.C., and somebody was on there who was a tree hugger, and they're talking about it's terrible to cut any tree. You ought not cut any trees. And I had about all that I could stand. I mean, I had it. And I leaned over and said, "You're not right." That made him mad. I said, in Mississippi, we're smart. We plant a tree. We let it grow. We cut a tree. It becomes lumber to make your stinking house. And then we plant another tree in its place, and they grow. It's called reforestation. I wasn't talking about it. I said, yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. We're to have dominion. I mean, we've got enough sense to do right if we would. Amen? But they worship the trees and the creatures. Amen? Oh, man. I hope they never cut out deer hunting. Not that I'm a big hunter at all, but my son-in-law is. And he gives us meat. Amen? But if you don't hunt, then disease gets into the herd and they die. I mean, there's a balance. And God gave us sense to do what we need to do. Amen. But these people are crazy. At least I think they are. They worship nature and the systems of nature and the forces of nature, and they follow their god, Al Gore. They worship and follow a lie. And the thing I can't get about Gore is he flies him and whoever, usually two or three of them, in a jet, and then they land and they say, well, we're going to pay some carbon credits, you know. We burn some stuff. So, well, that don't replace it. Just makes him feel. Isn't that what man does? Wants to make himself feel good. Makes himself feel good. There are those who worship the earth, the moon, the stars, all of that kind of stuff, astrology. That's a lie. I call the horoscope just that, horror. I don't want, God has my future. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Amen? That's what you're to do. Live from day to day. That's what we are to do. We're not worshiping humans. When you worship humanity, and you worship man, even when it's yourself, it's called humanism. I began to preach on the lie of humanism back in the late 70s. But I don't think many people listen. Because people worship men and not God. They worship little G-O-Ds that are worthless. Evolution is a lie. If you believe in evolution, again, you're dumb. I mean, you've got to have something missing out. I mean, something's gone. I mean, you think about who we are and how we are and the intricacies of this body. When I was in high school, we had a communism class. Mr. Ross taught it, and I took communism. I thought, well, I want to learn what they do. And it was. That was the name of the course, communism. So evolution is part of communism. That's part of their tenets. They teach evolution. So we had a debate, and I was on the creation side. Had not been saved but a while, just a little while. And on the other side, they had what they called theistic evolution, where God did it in time. And I had but one argument. I wasn't very schooled in all the stuff, but I said, here's my argument. If man evolved over millions of years, and that'd be something, you know. And they said, oh yeah, that is something. I said, how's he procreate? Where'd the woman come from? Well, she kind of, I said, no, She didn't kind of against that. I mean, he evolved. It took millions of years. What is the probability of a woman evolving at the same time as the man? And what about a cow, a steer, and a heifer evolving at the same time? Evolution. I'm telling you, folks are dumb as a post. I mean, they don't have a lot of sense. They don't. They don't think about anything. And they fire professors who come to the truth. They're doing that all over America. If you believe in creationism, they don't want you teaching in the college. They get rid of you as soon as they come. And when the Antichrist comes, it'll be a time in which people's minds have just been deluded. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. And the verses before deal with the coming of the evil regimes of the tribulation. I'm still pre-trib, pre-mill. If you're not, that's okay. You're wrong. That's what my pastor used to say. You can be wrong if you want to. But here's what it says. He's coming. This one coming after the working of Satan, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. There it is. Unrighteousness in them that perish. Those who will not believe the truth. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know why you're lost? Because you will not receive the love of the truth. Now, I know God has to do a quickening work. I understand that, but you're responsible before God. Now, it goes on to say here that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Why is that? Well, verse 11. I've skipped down to 12, give you some emphasis there. Verse number 11. And for this cause, because they did not love the truth, didn't receive the truth, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And when they believe that lie, and God has sent that strong delusion, there's no going the other direction. Serious, isn't it? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But I love verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now that's where the hard shells and I jump tracks. I believe you must believe the truth. You must believe that Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day for you. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's why we do that. But that strong delusion gets a lot of them, does it not? I want you to note that Paul declares his faith in the Creator in verse 25, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's how he ends that verse. Belief in the Creator. Not theistic. Direct. Creation. Not theistic evolution, evolution of any kind. Now, verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 1. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, I don't want to be ugly, unkind. I love people, and because I love folks, I'm going to say what's right. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to do it in love. Not mad at anybody. But what this is saying is that which is against nature. It's not right. That's what that means, does it not? It is not right. It is not right. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. He just let them go. He just let them go. That's why they'll never be satisfied. we can change all the laws, we can give them everything they want, we'll bake them all the cakes they want. You know what I'm saying? And it's gone crazy. They'll never be satisfied. Why? Because something's missing inside. That's where the problem is. It's on the inside. That's where the problem is. That's what I was talking about here. For even their women did change the natural use. What's the natural use? A man and a woman. Not two women. In a sexual union. Y'all are smart enough to get that. I mean, that's what it's talking about. God created them male and female. Male and female created He them. He emphasized that there in the book of Genesis. He said, I want you to get it. Get it. I've done two weddings in the last month. And in those weddings, at the rehearsal, I made it clear that I was glad that there was a man and a woman standing there. And I said, that's the only right way, that's the only natural way, because anything else is against nature. If I get in trouble, I get in trouble. Because I have believed the truth and continued to preach it through the years. I'm not going to back up now. Not going to step back now. Not going to dip my colors. And that's more than just the colors of the Word. I've got some other colors I'm not dipping. I'm not giving up on my heritage. I'm not going to do it. With God as my helper, I will not do it. Now, Paul is dealing with sexual immoralities, but he's not dealing with it in general here. He's specific. Specific. The reason I said that like that, there was a lady in Grenada who, she worked for a company, and she was typing, and the man she was typing for, he said to put in there that we need this specific piece. She said, no, that's not right. It's specific. She had been thinking all her life that specific was specific. And he had to give her an English lecture and a lesson and try to help her out. And I imagine she's still real specific about things. Oh, my. But lesbianism is against God. Women are mentioned first because they are considered to be more chaste than men. They're mentioned first here. They're more chaste. When the woman falls, and listen to me, ladies, I love y'all. Y'all are so sweet and precious and most of the time. But when the woman falls, the nation is doomed. The nation is doomed. Who rocks the cradle? What did they say? Every great leader has a good mama. So we got some that didn't have good mamas. But I don't know how that works, but the hand that leads the nation rocks the cradle. And we need somebody with the right kind of teaching, amen? That's what we're trying to say here. Because you ladies, you wives, you girls, you're special. You're special. And you're the bulwark of society. I've read after and read about a lot of men. Robert E. Lee's dad was gone most of the time. Light Horse Harry. He was gone a lot, but Mama was there. A lot of us were raised, or you were. Or my mom left me when I was 12, but I had a good nanny who took that place. I mean, we need good women. Amen? We need that. We're losing that. And I'm going to just jump off in hot water. Friends, it's not right for two women to adopt a child if they're in a sexual relationship. way, calling it a home, nor to men. That's a sin and an abomination. It is. Now, there's reasons why that's so bad. It's because the lust of the flesh. And you can take that and mull it over. You know what I'm saying. The Bible clearly teaches some things, and the Bible clearly teaches that sexual relations are intended for a husband and a wife. Every marriage I do, I use Hebrews 13:4. Put that right in there. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So you do that in a wedding? They never forget it. I mean, that little, I hope they don't, that little phrase. Marriage is honorable and all. The bed undefiled. It's good to be married. I like being married. I'm thankful for my wife. But these other relationships are not what they ought to be. They're against God. That's why God gave them up. Because they left the natural use of the man. They did. And what God was saying, your time's up. You're without hope. Verse 27, Romans chapter 1, verse number 27. And the Bible says here, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their what? Lust. Every bit of this is about lust. It's not about companionship. It's not about having a friend. It is all about lust. I'll guarantee you, at the bottom of it, it's nothing but lust. I've read a lot about what motivates, and I'm not going to get into it. But I'll tell you tonight, it's lust. It's lust. Terrible the way that they burned in their lust, it says, one toward another, men with men. And listen, that's why they have these groupings of them. They go to these places and then one after another. I mean, it's filthy, vile, wicked, ungodly, abominable. Now, some of you young people might say, now, preacher, we live in a different time and you've got to accept. Listen, you love everybody and hate their rotten, stinking sin. And don't try to placate them. That's why we're in the trouble we're in this country. We try to placate everybody. You can't do that. You have to stand for what is right. Working that, men with men, working that which is unseemly, that which it is not right. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Lots of scriptures deal with this subject, homosexuality. Now, one of the reasons that the Bible is being kicked out of everything and everywhere is because it goes against the liberal mindset concerning human relations. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 says this, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, I'm not advocating killing people. But if they continue on without repentance, there comes a time when God will do it. He will. He will do it. It's been many years ago. I would imagine now about 18 years ago, I was preaching from this passage, a message somewhat like this one, And a young man walked in, I'm going to say in his early 30s. He sat in the back of the auditorium at Central Baptist Church. I did not know him, knew nothing about him. He'd never been to the church. His parents were members of the church. And I preached the Word, just like I'm preaching it to you today. He came to me afterwards and he said, I'm a homosexual. He said, but I know I'm wrong. He said, you don't know how glad I am that you preached what you preached today. Jeffrey was his name. He said that when he was a little boy, a man raped him. He went off on the wrong path. And he told me, he said, I see it. I've lived that way. He said, I'm dying with AIDS. There's nothing I can do about that. He said, I know I am. He said, but here today I receive the Lord Jesus. He moved back home. He lived for the Lord. I went to the hospital when he was dying. I've never seen a more terrible death. And we love people and put them into that situation where they get a disease like that that there's no cure for and they die a terrible death. I preached his funeral. But I'm glad I didn't say, well, I'm not going to touch on that. I'll just kind of go over that. I'll glaze over that. Some of you may have thoughts. And you said, no, I'm kind of bent. I'll tell you what's bending you. It's called total depravity. The wickedness of the heart of man. That's what bends us in the wrong direction. It bends us. I know there's hope. Mr. Obama says, let's quit doing this education to get them out of it. Let's just not do that. That'll become against the law. Well, you raise up a nation of people who are ungodly. It's a sad, sad thing. It's not. Homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. It is a life that leads to physical and spiritual death. That's the truth. Although television and movies and the media promotes it. To have some fellow become a football player in the whatever it is, National Football League or the American Football, I don't know. And they make a big deal, and over and over and over and over they talk about it. Why? Because they're pushing it on you, and especially you young people, to get you to accept something that's a lie. And when you believe not the truth, you're in trouble. Amen? You got a problem. Deep problem. Bad problem. Then it says in that verse right at the end, and we're back in Romans, and let me tell you, there's a lot of verses in several in Leviticus and then in Genesis 19 and where Lot told those homosexuals, do not so wickedly. Do not so wickedly. He realizes wickedness. He did. And I have them tell me, I talk to some and I talk about sodomite and that, and they said, we don't like that word. We don't like that word, sodomite. The only Bible that has sodomite in it, as far as my knowledge, is a Bible that comes from the received text of the Bible. Not in the modern versions. It comes from those Bibles that come through the clear and pure text line. That includes your King James Bible, the Geneva Bible, Tyndale's. New Testament was pure. He did not get the Old Testament done. The British Bible, Matthew's Bible. But the modern ones don't. And so these people use those as an example. It's not in the Bible. Is it? If you got a good Bible, it is. Amen? If you got the right Bible, it is. They receive in themselves a recompense. Number one, they receive this emptiness that goes with them throughout their life. Been around, and listen, Denise and I grew up on the coast. I mean, it was rampant down there, but they stayed kind of, you know, you knew who they were, but they didn't push it. Didn't push it. But there was an emptiness, and there is an emptiness. They may have these parades, and the president may shine rainbow lights on the White House like a dummy. I mean, that was in your face. That was in your face. I'm going to show you a bunch of righteous people what I can do. I've got a phone and I've got a pen. I'll do as I please. And we do have a dictator. And that's why a lot of this happens. It does. This unbridled lust and passion brings with it the fatal promise of Scripture. And then there is AIDS. But you don't hear them talk about that anymore, do you? Very seldom hear anything. Why? That goes against what they need to do. Now let's get verses 28 and following and finish up here, okay? I'd much rather preach about heaven. But I do want people who are lost to go there. I want them to get saved, to come to know the Lord and go to heaven. Now, are you with me? Now, verse number 28. And here's the complete, total depravity of man. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't like it. A lot of things they don't like. And one thing they don't like is God. Lost people. Oh, dear friend. I think there are those who are lost who still believe there is a God. But these people, they don't retain God in their knowledge. They shove Him out. And there are those who say that they are Christians, and they are. Got my problem. Big problem. You with me? Big problem. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that's the end when it's reprobate. God's finished with you. To do those things which are not convenient. And the idea of doing those things is that they are bridled by nothing. They're unbridled. Live. Old preacher friend of mine, he said they live like dogs under a porch. People that lived in the country understand what I'm saying. That's a sad thing, isn't it? To live that way. Oh, dear friend. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. It just goes on and on and on. But friends, here's the thing. You and I are to live for God. We are to reject what is wrong and stand for what's right. We are to help those who we can, like Jeffrey. Like Jeffrey. There was a lady that we baptized some years ago who was a lesbian. And she's still in church. She's not in the same church where I was pastor, but she is in church. And I thank God that He gave me those so I know that, yes, there is hope for those who don't cross the line. There is hope. There is. Dr. Leon Macbeth, who I got to hear years ago at a place called Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, he said this, wrong loving, verse 24, and wrong living, verse 26, leads to wrong thinking. Wrong loving, wrong living, lives to wrong thinking. Okay? Makes sense, doesn't it? Dr. J. Frank Norris, the great pastor of First Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas. Great preacher. My dear friend, Brother Norris Corley, was named after J. Frank. He said this, J. J. Frank Norris said, "A true mirror of the soul that sinneth. Here is God's x-ray of the heart of man." These verses are a true x-ray. That's what they are. Let me ask you today, are you going to believe the Bible, or are you going to swallow the liberal mindset and just go along with the media and with the crowd? Mississippi said, "No, we don't want homosexual marriage. We believe the Bible." Alabama said, "No, we don't want homosexual marriage." Even California voted Proposition 8 and said, "No, we don't want that." And here it is, mandated by a Supreme Court that needs to be removed from where they are, because they're wrong. At least five of them were wrong. And everybody knew what they was going to do. Didn't surprise you, did it? That's where we're at. We're in the last days. There's no doubt. And friend, one day Jesus is coming. And when He does, don't be left behind. While you're here, you do right. You do right. You do right till the stars fall. Then you do right. Didn't mean to keep you so long, but I did. But that's only because I love you. And love the Word of God. I love these youngins. Amen. I want them to know the truth. I want them to hear the truth. I want my grandchildren to know the truth. I want your grandchildren and children to know the truth.